We shall return to God's word now to read from Philippians chapter 4. We'll read the whole chapter, Philippians chapter 4. Begin verse 1. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yes, it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days, your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts, but I desire is that more may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will submit all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me send greetings. All God's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Well, I don't know what you're going through in life just at this particular time, what trials you may be experiencing, what struggles you may be having, maybe some very deep and difficult trials. Or maybe you're just sailing through life, that things are going quite well at the moment. I wonder how you're dealing with life. What's your response to your situation? Are you content? Content not just with what you have, your salary, your home, your and so on, but your circumstance as well. Are you content within the circumstances you're facing? Do you know the secret of peaceful contentedness? Or is there in your heart a restlessness, a fretting perhaps? maybe even grumbling about things in your life. Now, it can be very difficult, can't it, to be quiet and still and feel content in some of our situations. Sometimes it just feels impossible. You're saying, well, you're asking me to do something that I can't possibly do. How can we be content when we're going through? If you knew what I was going through, how could you expect me to be content in that situation? Well, let me show you a man who had learned the art of contentment. He was not sitting in a comfortable armchair in front of a cozy fire watching the Chelsea Flower Show, surrounded by a doting wife and three model children. No, he is in a Roman prison, reliant upon friends to bring him food, otherwise he'll have nothing. Not knowing when or even if he will ever be released. Is he due for execution any day now? Who knows? There's Paul. Paul is writing to the Philippians. One of the reasons he writes this letter is to thank them for a gift that they've sent him. But he's saying to them, look, I really appreciate your love. And you are helping me in my needs. But actually, you know, I'm not complaining about my situation, because I have learnt, in whatever state I am, to be content, he says in verse 11 of Philippians 4. He's not lying there possessed by thoughts of things he hadn't got and things he wished were different and things he wanted. That's not what he's thinking about. He could be sitting there thinking, oh, if only I was free, I could be doing so much more for Christ. How wonderful it would be to have a comfortable bed to sleep in at night, surrounded by friends and plenty of good food. How nice would we need be not to have these soldiers swearing at me all the time and shouting at me. I would be free to walk the streets and to feel the sunshine in my face. Oh, that I didn't have to hear the screams of prisoners being tortured. Life really could be better than this. That isn't how Paul was. There he's in prison, not a very nice place to be. But he's learned that even in that situation, when food is scarce, when times are hard, he had learned to be content. As he is in every condition of life. He's in a place of inward quiet and peace. He is not possessed with anxiety, nor is he impatient, nor is he complaining. Let's just read verses 11 through to 13. That's my text really this evening, Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak in regard to need, he says, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I've got the New King James Version, so maybe a little different wording to what you have there. To be content, the word means to be self-satisfied, to be satisfied, to just be at peace, to have a quiet heart. I was at the Grace Baptist Assembly this week, and Phil Heaps preached from Psalm 131. And there in verse 2, we read, surely I have calmed and quieted my soul. I've calmed and quieted my soul. That's what this contentment is about. And Paul is writing from real experience. Now he knows what it is to suffer need, as well as to have plenty. He knows what it is to wonder where his next meal is coming from. He knows how to be brought into low, difficult conditions, and is also to be in a happier state outwardly. And in all this, he's learnt to be content. Have we learnt the art of contentment in our situation? Whether they're extreme difficulties or whether they're just the kind of things you just wish, well, I just wish things were a bit different to what they are. If only I could resolve this, if only I could sort that out. Have we done the art of contentment in every circumstance? Or are we fretting? I'm doing something this evening that I don't think I've ever done before, and that is that I've really based this sermon upon a book that I've just been reading. It's a book that I remember seeing advertised about 40 years ago, and I thought, I really must get that book one of these days. And I finally got it, and I've started reading. I haven't got all the way through it yet, so I'm just going to share the first part of it, or some of it. I've rejigged a bit, but basically it's based on Jeremiah Burroughs' book, The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment. Jeremiah Burroughs was a Puritan living in the 1600s, in the difficult days of the English Civil War and all such things as that. In days, of course, when many of his congregation would have been poor and life would have been very difficult. And yet he writes about the rare jewel of Christian contentment. And it is a rare jewel. It is a precious jewel. If only we can master it. If only we can obtain this Christian contentment. So, if you know, if you find some good things, but there's some, don't thank me, just thank Jeremiah Burroughs, okay? When you see him in glory, you can say thank you for that, that somebody else conveyed to me. So what is Christian contentment? Well, Jeremiah Burroughs defines it in this way. It is that sweet, inward, quiet, gracious frame of spirit, which freely submits to and delights in God's wise and fatherly disposal in every condition. Let me just read that again. That sweet, inward, quiet, gracious frame of spirit, which freely submits to and delights in God's wise and fatherly disposal in every condition. A quiet spirit that submits to God's providence in our lives. There's an inward thing. You know, there are some people who you never hear them complain, but inside, you know, they're restless, and they're fretting, and they're anxious, and sometimes, you know, we can, especially in England, I think, that we can maintain that kind of stiff upper lip and not express ourselves perhaps too much, but inwardly it's not all still and peaceful. But this Christian contentment is an inward thing. It's not just restraining us, our lips, but it's a quietness and contentment of the heart. You read in Psalm 39 of restraining the lips. This is David in Psalm 39 and verse 2. And he's in difficulties and trials. And he says, I was mute with silence. I held my peace even from good. And my sorrow was stirred up. My heart was hot within me. That's what he was. His heart was hot within him. And although he didn't say anything. But the contentment is of the heart. It's a sweet calmness within. If it was just an outward thing, it would be relatively easy to grasp and master. But it's a calmness within us. And because his inside is not dependent on external circumstances. You know, we can be calmed by somebody's soothing words or kind gestures, but often that's only temporary, isn't it? It soon wears off. Jeremiah Burroughs uses the illustration of clothes, and if you've got someone who's ill, who's struggling to get warm, he can warm his clothes up by the fire and then put his clothes on, and for a little while they keep him warm, but after a while the clothes grow cold again. And external help doesn't really help him. But if you've got a healthy body, you put your clothes on, and your body warms your clothes. And it's your body temperature, your body heat that warms them, and that keeps them warm. So a contentment that comes from just some external aid, some external help, is only temporary. It's got to be something that comes from within, in our hearts. So it's inward. It's also quiet. It means being quiet in the midst of our troubles and sufferings. No, we must be careful here. It doesn't mean to say that we are immune from the sense of suffering. No, we're not just people who are like people who just can't feel anything. You're just numb. We're not insensible to the pain. We're not indifferent to pain and the burden of suffering. We feel it. We feel it intensely. Paul felt pain. Yes, he'd had a visit from Epaphroditus from the Philippians and into his prison cell. But Epaphroditus became sick, and he nearly died. But Paul was relieved that God spared his life, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow, he says in verse 27. Sorrow upon sorrow, the sorrow of being in prison and then seeing his friend die. He knew the pain of suffering. A contented spirit doesn't mean to say that we don't feel anything. Nor does it mean that we don't complain to God. That we don't tell God how we feel. That we don't pour out our hearts to him. And that's something we find so often in the Psalms, don't we? In those prayers of David and others as they pour out their hearts to God. In Psalm 38, when in Psalm 40 we read, I waited patiently for the Lord. That's contentment. But to Psalm 38 verse 6, this is what he's saying to God. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are full of inflammation. There's no soundness in my flesh. I'm feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil of my heart. Nor all my desires before you, and my sighing is not hidden from you. And when he is going through turmoil, he pours it out to God. And it's that by that means that he finds peace. And we can tell God how it feels. We can unbosom ourselves to him and to a close friend as well. Nor does contentment mean that we should not do anything about our circumstances, that if we get the opportunity to change things for the better, that we don't take it. Now, Paul knew what it was to feel need, but if he was if he was a bit poor and hadn't got enough to eat, well, he would do his tent making to earn some money. He wouldn't just sit there thinking, oh, well, is anybody going to take pity on me? No, he does something about it when he can. And so contentment doesn't mean to say that we just say, well, just leave things as they are, and if God changes it, well, he'll have to change it himself. Now, if we can change our circumstances, we can. But what it does mean is that we're not to be those who murmur and complain and grumble and fret and become impatient and restless, distracted with care, or even rebellious. Means that we don't become the sort of people who will do anything to change our circumstances. Whether right or wrong, we don't care. We just want to get it done. Ever striving to get things sorted out. Ever striving to change things, even when we can't change them. It's a quietness of spirit. But also being freely submissive to God. It's not just mere resignation because there's nothing we can do. No, I have no choice. This is how it is. Fretting won't help, so I might as well just accept it. No, that's reluctance, isn't it? That's just giving in, resigning to a situation. A contentment says, this is how God has disposed my condition. I freely submit to that. And not just reluctantly, but willingly, even gladly. Embracing what God has done. Saying with Eli, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. If that's his will, let me embrace that will. Let me take this as from the hand of my Father. Let me recognize that he is working good. Even if it's human instruments that are causing our pain. Maybe someone's negligence or someone's spite or malice or whatever it might be. Maybe it's humans that are causing us pain. But let's see that even behind that, we have a loving Father who is allowing these things to take place. We say, well, I will take what he lays upon me. So submission to God, and this contentment is in every condition. Have you ever said, you know, I could handle anything but this. God could have brought me through any trial but this one. And if it was something else, I could cope with that, but not this. I could face the loss of my job, but not my health. I could face the loss of my health, but not my wife. I could face the loss of my health, of my wife, but not my child. How hard it can be sometimes to accept the situation that we experience just now. It can be hard to be content in that situation. It seems so painful, so mysterious. Maybe it goes on so long. Maybe we thought it would be over in just a few weeks, but it goes on month after month, year after year. Sometimes a multiplication of troubles. Someone I know suffered from the death of their mother. A grandchild that had a difficult birth that has left it with severe long-term disabilities. And now a son with terminal cancer who doesn't yet know the Lord. All those things, one upon another, all within a matter of months. We say, how can I cope with this? But contentment, Christian contentment, is in all circumstances. I've learned in whatever state I am, Paul says, in whatever state I am, to be content. The second thing is Christian contentment must be learned. I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. You know, I'm not talking here about someone's personality. There are some people with those kind of personalities that just seem to be able to cope with things without being ruffled. They seem so unaffected by trouble, so naturally calm, maybe happy-go-lucky. Well, there are others who get stressed very easily and worry very quickly. We're not talking about personality here. I'm not saying, well, maybe you're just the kind who just can roll through these things. There are some people who just seem to be stoical in character, that, you know, they just got that sort of strength of character that no matter what happens, you know, they will just get through it. They've got a sturdy resolution, and I'm not going to let this faze me. But we're not all like that either, are we? We're not talking about a natural disposition here. We're not talking about something that comes to us by nature, but it's something that any Christian can find, that any Christian can learn. Whatever your personality may be, it's something that you can learn. It's something that comes through grace, through the grace of God. Paul had to learn contentment. I don't think Paul was the person who could easily be content with difficult circumstances. He's the sort of person who wants to get things done. And when something gets in the way, you know what the doers are like? They get impatient. I just want this obstacle to be removed so I can get on with things. That's Paul's kind of personality, isn't it? To learn contentment. And he learned it through experience, but not by experience. Now, we experience lots of trouble, but just experiencing lots of trouble doesn't make you content. But you can learn contentment through experience. As you face that experience, as you put your faith in the Lord in that experience, as you understand, use your understanding in that experience, as you learn the lessons of that experience, so you can learn to be content. And it is a difficult lesson, sometimes an immensely difficult lesson to learn in the school of Christ. But if we don't learn it, what does it make us? And what kind of people will we be if we don't learn contentment? We'll be murmuring, doubting God, grumbling at God, perhaps worrying, frantic, impatient, being of no use in the situation we are. So Christian contentment is something we have to learn, and that's really hard. Having that quietness of spirit, that inward quietness, that submission to God's will in all circumstances. So how do we learn Christian contentment? What is it that we need to bear in mind if we are to be like Paul here, learning Christian contentment? Let me point you in the direction of a few helps, again with the help of Jeremiah Burroughs. First of all, there's the strength of Christ. Because you may be saying in your heart, what you're saying, preacher, is impossible. I just cannot possibly just have a quiet spirit. If you knew what I was going through, you would understand. I cannot possibly be quiet in this situation. It's impossible. Maybe I can't understand your situation. But it is impossible to us, but not to Christ. There's that famous verse of verse 13, isn't there? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And what he's talking about is learning to be content. I can learn to be content. Learn to accept the situation in the quietness of heart through the strength that Christ gives. We can draw from his strength. As the branches draw from the sap in the vine, so we draw from the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom we are united by faith. He is with us. And as he said to Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, his grace is sufficient for us. Then we had to get a piano from Grunswald Chapel to my sons at Cambridge last year. Now you try picking up a piano, an iron-framed piano. I couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. How are we going to get this thing to Cambridge? We get enough people lifting it. You can do it. Some helpers, one on each corner, and someone to say 1, 2, 3, go, and you're going to do it. Okay, it was still pretty heavy, but we did it. We even managed to get a different. I'm not normally a piano remover, but even on a different occasion, my brother needed to get up when he moved house. He had a piano, and it wouldn't go in on the ground floor, so we had to take it upstairs. So that was even harder to do. So, but you can lift the heaviest object if there are enough helpers. So you're not in your condition on your own. You have a helper. The Lord Jesus Christ. It's his strength. His strength we rely on. His strength we must look to. Lord, I can't do this on my own. I can't go. I need your strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So it's not impossible if we have Jesus with us. So that's the first thing. We can't do it on our own. But other things will help us to learn contentment. Another one is don't compare yourself with others. It was easy, isn't it, to say, well, it's all right for them. If only I was in their condition, I'd be okay. If only I had their salary. If only I had their health. If only I had their opportunities. If only my children were like their children. If only I was in a different situation in life. Why have they got it so easy and I haven't? Why is it so easy for them? Why is it that other people don't have the troubles that I have? Maybe you're one of those people who always have troubles. You know, there are some people who seem to sail through life with hardly any troubles, and there are other people for whom troubles just seem to follow our heels all the time. But comparing ourselves with others doesn't help, does it? It won't help us to learn contentment. It makes us more discontented. The more we look at other people and compare ourselves with them, it's just going to make us more discontented. So don't compare yourself with others. Don't envy them. Accept your situation for what it is. The third thing is, remember that earthly circumstances are not the most important thing. Earthly circumstances are not the most important thing. Paul says in 1 Timothy 6 that we brought nothing into the world, or verse 7, we brought nothing into the world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. You're talking about godliness with contentment is great gain. So we didn't bring anything into the world, we won't carry anything out of the world. So let's be content if we have what we need in this world. Because these things are only temporary. So if you don't feel you've got enough money, or you feel your health is not so good, well, it's only a temporary situation. The things of this life don't last forever. That's not our ultimate possession, is it? We have something much bigger and much greater than that. Our inheritance is in heaven. That's what really counts. We have an inheritance there that can't be touched by the troubles of this world. We have a riches there that the richest man in the world can only stop to envy. Our present circumstances are not the most important thing. And so we need to adjust our desires. You know, the world desires the things of this world. You know, the unbeliever, all he has is this world, and that's what he wants, that's what he's grasping for, because he's got nothing else. His desires are too great sometimes for him. But we must learn to measure our desires and say, well, it doesn't matter too much. Again, Burroughs uses another illustration. He talks about one man with one leg longer than the other. He doesn't get about so well as someone who's just got two short legs of equal length. And he says that a man with one leg longer than the other is someone whose desires are too great for his circumstances. His circumstances are thus, but his desires are much greater than that. And so he doesn't get along very well. But here is someone with two short legs but the same length, because his circumstances are not very great, but his desires are not too great either. He's not grasping for something far beyond what he's actually going to be able to get. And we can do that when we realize that actually the things of this world are not the big thing. You know, we've got an eternity to look forward to. The things of this world are temporary. The troubles of this world are temporary. The sufferings we're going through won't last forever. They may seem to go on a long time, but they won't last forever. Be content. Rest. We may feel we're losing out, but we're not losing out on what really counts. The fourth thing is live as best we can in our circumstances. Paul could have done so much more if he wasn't in prison. He could have been preaching in this city and that city and setting up churches here, there and everywhere. He could have done so much better if he had no thorn in the flesh, whatever that thorn might have been. What a hindrance it seemed to be to him. But he had to learn contentment by learning to adjust to his circumstances. To do what he could in the circumstances that God had placed him in. If he's not free to go here, there and everywhere preaching the gospel, well, Paul, you can witness to the palace guards, can't you? Which is what he did. As Philippians 1 tells us about that. Paul, you could write to the church at Philippi and the church at Colossae and the church at Ephesus too, and Philemon, by the way, as well. He wrote his letters, some of his letters, in prison. So there are things he could do, even though there are other things he couldn't do. We might think, if only I could get rid of the circumstances, if only I could, my circumstances could change, then I could get on with life. That would content me. If this trouble was removed, this suffering was taken away, if I got a pay rise, then that would content me, then everything would be okay then. But no, that's not the attitude to take. The attitude to take is, here I am. This is my situation now. Let me make the most of it. Let me just say, if I didn't have this problem, I'd be okay. But what can you do in your situation? I'm sure you've heard of Corrie ten Boom, a Jewish lady who was imprisoned by the Nazis during the World War II because she was helping to hide the Jews, or some of the Jews. She would have loved to have had her freedom. Being in that horrible concentration camp at Ravensbrück was a horrible experience. She'd much rather have had her freedom. And maybe helping some more Jews. But while she was there, and her sister Betsy as well, they took the opportunity to bear witness for Christ. They saw people converted in prison because they're able to minister to those people. They comfort and encourage other prisoners in prison. They were there to serve the Lord. And so that's what they did. Maybe your circumstances are very difficult, very hard. But while you're in those circumstances, what can you do? Do what you can for the Lord. And don't think, I can only do something if my circumstances change. So we draw from Christ's strength. Don't compare yourself with others. Don't think that earthly circumstances are the be-all and end-all. It's not the most important thing. Live as best we can in our circumstances. Trust in the will of God. We're nearly to the end. Again, at Grace Baptist Assembly, Phil Heaps, one of the points he made as he was going through Psalm 131 is don't try to do impossible things only God can do. Often do we get in that situation. There's something we really can't sort out, but we try to, we want to, and we're fretting because we can't. Don't try to do impossible things only God can do. You can't control what other people do. You can't control their attitudes. You can't control their choices. You can't control your health. There are many things in life you can't control. They happen. And there's nothing you can do about it. So there's no point in us getting all uptight about it and saying, well, I've got to do something about it, when you can't. Only God can do it. So we have to leave them with him. We have to trust him. As Boris says, we must melt our will into God's will. Or pray as Jesus taught us, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We trust you, Lord. We trust that you know what you're doing. We trust that you are working in perfect wisdom. We trust that you still love me so much. It's not escaping from suffering that will content me, but benefiting from suffering, learning what you need to teach me through the suffering. Help me to learn your will. Help me to understand. Help me just to trust you in all these things, knowing that you are with me, knowing that you love me intently. I can't change it. Only you can, Lord. Let me be content while I'm in this situation, until you change it. Trust God. To the strength of Christ. Don't envy others. Don't overvalue this world. Don't have too many great desires in this world. Live as best you can in your circumstances. Trust God's will. And finally and ultimately, be content with God himself. When everything else is removed, if you lose absolutely everything, what have you got left? You've got the Lord. That's easier said than done, isn't it? You know, if you're in Ukraine and your house has just been bombed and your husband has just been killed and your son has just been captured and you're a refugee in a foreign country, what have you got left? What have you got left? You've got God. It's all you. Ultimately, that is where you're at, isn't it? When all created streams have dried up, you've got the fountainhead of all those streams. When I have nothing else in this world, Lord, I still have you. I will never have to pray, my God, why have you forsaken me? I'll never have to be in the depths of that kind of despair. Recognize he is still there. Recognize that he is your life, your portion, your all. And here's your only satisfaction. There's an old lady, a very poor old lady, who someone went to visit and said, how can you be so cheerful in your circumstances? All she had was bread and water and nothing, just the very, very basics. And she said, I've got all these and Jesus Christ too. As though that was the ultimate satisfaction. Now, what more could I expect? What more could I want? What an attitude to have, isn't it? What a contentment to learn. While we have him, when we really value him, then in all circumstances, we can learn to be content. May God help us to know that peace and quietness and contentment in everything. Or shall we just spend a moment in reflection and prayer? Lord, you know our circumstances. You know our hearts. Lord, maybe some here are going through trying times, times that are testing their patience, but testing their faith. Maybe, Lord, they've been in a difficult situation for a very long time and just wishing things would be different. Lord, help us in every situation to be content. Content with your will. Content with you. Lord Jesus, grant us your strength. Amen.